This is the April 10 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Dale Durkles of Grain Cycles out of Bloomington, Illinois, Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk out of Stockton, Illinois, and John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities from Lafayette, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You can find and listen to us online anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Dale Durkles, we'll start with you. Why don't you run us through the numbers as they were released by the World Agricultural Outlook Board earlier today?
Well, we'll get wheat out of the way first. It had a small change. They lowered their feed usage number by 25 million. They lowered imports about 10 million and end up boosting ending stocks up to 852 million bushel. The corn, we had a smattering of changes. They raised their feed usage number by 50 million. They raised ethanol, interestingly enough, by 25 million. The one everybody was looking at was exports, and they raised their export number 75 million to 2675, and it ended up with ending stocks at 1.352 billion. Beans, we had some internal changes. They lowered the crush by 10 million bushel down to 2.19 billion. They raised exports by 30 million up to 2.28 billion, I believe, but ending stocks were left the same at 120 million bushel. Interestingly enough, in the bean oil, they lowered the biodiesel consumption by 300 million pounds. I thought that was interesting. Domestic bean meal, they lowered 200 million. Smattering of small changes in the world crop numbers. They really didn't change anything as far as South America. When I look at big changes, Argentina, they lowered the corn crop estimate by 500,000 ton to 47. They raised the Brazilian bean crop by 2 million to 136. They lowered Chinese soybean crush by 2 million bushel. But the big change in the world numbers, they raised the Chinese wheat feed consumption by 5 million ton again. That's the second time they've done that in 2 months. So, and they didn't make any real serious changes other than that around the world, other than small little details, realistically.
If they're changing the wheat feed for China, does that mean that nation is in need of importing wheat, or do they just have the wheat to feed to livestock and they're directing it that way rather than for bread and cookies and crackers and such?
They have the wheat to feed. That is the one thing that a lot of people did not keep up with. I don't remember where we were, let's say, back about 3 or 4 months ago, but right now their ending stocks estimate of wheat in China is 145 million tons. That's still a little bit larger than a new crop is, you know. And the one thing that's been going on in China, a lot of people have kind of not thought about, and part of the game with the corn market over in China, they allowed the corn market to continue to percolate to get up to where corn prices were almost equivalent to wheat. And I think that was done so that they could move wheat out of government reserves. And they've moved a lot of wheat out of government reserves this winter. And they're doing it basically at no cost to the government because they're basically let the corn price gravitate up to where the government wheat price was. So, you know, it's been a move they've had over there. It's been going on now for 3 or 4 months and hasn't gotten a lot of attention.
Yeah, so they managed to allow corn price to come up to probably enough, far enough for sure, to spur more acreage in planting, I would think, for the 2021 growing season. And in the process, they emptied out some of the wheat stocks they apparently wanted to get rid of. Interesting to see what they'll do from here and what the price of corn in China might do in the coming month. Has it begun to drop?
As I remember, and I haven't looked at daily and corn prices now for about 2 weeks, but as I remember, we've started to ease off a little bit, but still it's hovering up there at relatively high historic levels themselves, you know. And with corn prices here hovering near highs we've played with all winter, down in Brazil, we actually had corn prices get up to new record levels, at least for May delivery. So we've got high prices down there. So even if we've eased a little bit in China, I mean, it's only been a little bit. It's not really changed that dramatically enough to really end this movement of wheat out of government reserves into the feed pipeline.
Coming back here domestically to the United States, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate dropped in total, and you talked about where these came from, 150 million bushels out of the ending stocks. It's now at 1.352 billion. It's not been down that low for a while.
No, it hasn't been. We go back to, what, 2012 or 2013. I don't remember which year it was when we set the low, and the year after that we were still reasonably tight, too. You know, the changes they made here today, arguably, I can't say were wrong. The one that they did make here today, boosting the feed consumption number by 50 million bushel, I really scratched my head on that one, because actually our feed consumption through the first half of the calendar year seemed to be pretty consistent with where they had been projecting feed consumption to be for the year as a whole. So, you know, I'm not too certain as to why they did that one there. The export number, they raised 75 million. As you know, a lot of people in the trade have been going, that one needs to be up 150, 200 million, you know. So, you know, there may be more to come on that one here again. But I really kind of wonder, you know, in terms of the feed consumption, if in fact that may end up coming down a little bit in the future. So we'll see how all that shakes out.
How do you see this proceeding for prices for old crop corn in the near and longer term in this case?
Well, the interesting game here today, for example, which I've been watching here as we've been going, you know, since the report was released. So far, the funds have been defending the market on the downside. You know, we opened up, right after the report, we went a little bit higher and immediately faltered and had a fairly significant break, taking, you know, almost 20 cents out of the corn market itself. And we're sitting here, you know, trading a little bit higher here yet, but, you know, it's going to be interesting when we get to the end of the trading day itself. You know, are we really going to see the funds come in and defending at the end? The big thing I note, you know, corn got up, went to some new contract highs. Wheat got up to some new rebound highs here at this point, and there's no follow-through in it. So in the corn in particular, I really look at it and I question, do we really have any excited new buyers out there? And this is the second time we've done that. We go back last Thursday, you know, the day after we had the stocks and acreage report, we opened up higher and the corn market immediately faltered, you know, after we got into new highs. And it's like there's no buying up here at these new highs at this point. And you have to start to wonder, are we getting to somewhere near potential end of the game?
And is that because we're just turning our attention to a planting season that appears to be off to a good start? And you can talk about the dry weather if you want, but there are planters rolling.
Yeah, there really are, you know, and corn and beans both. You know, I know one person here by McLean, Illinois. They're done planting beans already. Get that, done. Big farmer, not a small farmer. They use seed coating, I assume, at this point. I know who the farmer is. But, yeah, we're off to a good start. Yeah, we're getting rain here at this point. We're supposed to cool off a little bit. Soils are still not what you call anywhere near wet, so, you know, give me a day or so of dry and weather, we'll be back after it again. And, you know, the way the weather's shaping up right now, unless something really big happens, it looks like planting's going to go relatively well this year. So then it's going to be a game. Do we get the timely rains in the summer?
Garrett Toy from AgTraderTalk.com. Can you take me through some of the technical objectives on the board for old and new crop at this point?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think the big thing here today is that we traded the new contract highs for December corn, and we traded through $5. Actually, $5 the key psychological level. We traded through highs of 503 3/4. That's the daily highs. With that move, what it does is it opens up that 514 to 517 3/4 area as the next area of resistance. You know, that's the first and foremost area. You know, from our commercial, you know, we have commercial clients, we work with farmer clients as well. You know, we had some offers, we picked up some offers of $5. There's some people that are wanting to reward that rally. Probably not as heavy as what I thought we would see at that level, but it's the first time we've been here. So it's you know, people probably be a little bit more aggressive once we see how we get in the planting, which, you know, Central Illinois has been active here this week, and I think the next couple of weeks are going to be strong. On this old crop, we're midpoint of that gap. The question is, are we consolidating here like we did back in December for a bigger move? If that's the case, then that 627 and a quarter, 627 and a quarter area, the bottom end of the gap on the weekly chart from 2013 would be the next upside objective. But, you know, here, this 562 and a half level where we've seen buying this week under those levels, this is kind of the bottom end of this, the top end of the range. Support level, I should say, 562 and a half is support level.
So as you look forward into May, which is the first time USDA will put a WASDE, a World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, out with new crop numbers, how do you roll them forward, and what does the supply and demand table look like?
Well, I mean, we're not going to get new acres. We're not going to get new acres until the end of June. So, you know, at face value, you've got a 1402 new crop carryout, which is only 50 million bushel higher than where we're at on old crop. And you can see it already starting. The bean export program slowing down. The corn export program's firing up. We're doing 50, 60, 70 million bushels a week of inspections. The cash market's going to lead this market. You know, if we do see a division where, you know, they may want to sell December corn because the planting's off to a good pace, old crop is going to have to stay somewhat supported in order to, keep grain moving to the river. You know, the stocks report told us, though, I mean, the farmer has done a pretty, they were aggressive sellers of beans out of the field at harvest, and they did a pretty decent job of selling corn in the second quarter, according to the stocks report. So it seems like the commercial has decent ownership of old crop corn, so it's going to be a basis play. It's going to be a spread play more than anything. And if you've got remaining old crop bushels out there, I'd be cognizant of that from this point going forward. But this corn, we've got a lot of corn we're going to ship. I mean, you talk to commercial contacts, they think that we're going to be able to ship the lion's share of this export commitment that's on the book, and some of it will probably get rolled over like we did last week that we saw from China and in the old crop beans, where they rolled four cargoes from old crop to new crop. So the big picture is, though, I mean, I think you look at the New York people and the New York firms, you have the global inflationary trade. If China is around and is going to continue to buy corn from this point forward, then prices are justified at $5. And is this the new paradigm or not? And if they are gonna stick around and they're gonna be big buyers, this is gonna be like the bean market was in 2005 when they first emerged in the global spectrum.
Does that mean your expectation is that we'll continue to build a higher futures price?
The perspective is that it's going to try to encourage more acres. It's going to try to encourage more production. You can argue that the March acres are too low. I mean, you look at combined acres and prevent plant, there's 3 million acres there, but the situation is tight enough with corn and soybeans that 3 million acres between the two of them really doesn't solve, it alleviates things, but it doesn't solve anything. I think that's kind of the way you saw the reaction that we did off of that March report, or March 31st report, is that the length was rolling from the front end out to the deferreds, because it's going to take probably several years for the situation to correct itself. And it's not just encouraging supply, but it's also trying to, ration demand as well.
So you mentioned that this is a basis play, probably for old and new crop both. Is it that you believe, and I don't know what the spread will look like or the inversion and how that will play out, but that you believe that there will be a wider basis on cash sales going forward?
No, I don't think it's going to be a cash and basis or a basis and spread play on old and new, but it's going to be an old crop for sure. Basis should firm if they can't originate bushels. You're kind of starting to see a little bit on the interior. The interior here in beans, I heard some pretty hefty Central Illinois bean basis trades this week, but that should new crop can definitely ease basis. We still have a harvest to get through, and basis can weaken in new crop. But I really don't think that until we get into, you know, July or August timeframes, that you're really going to see much weakening in old crop corn basis whatsoever.
That would be opposite of the idea that if the commercials have most of the bushels, and you'll have to tell me whether you really think that's the case or not, that basis would not have to really draw out of farmers' hands.
No, well, the board, when the farmer has the bushels, you have to rally the flat price and board, you know. So that would be the caveat. Basis is going to weaken and work against origination of grain, then you're seeing that the board's going to rally significantly, and that's probably going to be from, you know, inflationary concerns or, you know, that sort of thing. New York type buying that where the board rallies and causes basis to weaken. But no, in this kind of scenario, I mean, with basis, you know, most of the commercials are long basis, and it just kind of depends on how strong these inverses get in order to get them to move grain to the market.
All right, just so, because you and I have talked about both sides of this, me asking questions of it, just some quick clarification. You think old crop basis will do what for corn and soybeans?
For old crop, basis should firm.
And for new crop?
Neutral at this point. It just kind of depends on the farmer sales. If the farm, we get in the next 30 to 60, 45 days, get into mid-June, and the farmer's comfortable with a good planting program and everything goes well, then they'll probably relieve some bushels and make some sales, and that would ease up basis a little bit.
John Zanker from Risk Management Commodities, can you talk to me just a little bit about the current cash situation, old and new crop, as it lays out after this April report, please?
Well, I don't think there was any, we didn't see anything today that's going to change that situation. We've got a tight, we have a tight cash situation, obviously, and we have farmers going to be moving to the field in mass here, probably by the middle of the next week here in Illinois, Indiana. So it's only going to get tighter. We're seeing some record basis levels now, and I just don't see that changing. So it's going to get crazy during the summer, especially for soybeans. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but a dollar over basis maybe late June, July wouldn't shock me for soybeans. And we're already halfway there. And corn's, it's looking pretty robust as well, too. You know, 25 over trading at the processor, Central Indiana, Central Illinois, Northern Indiana. 35, showing some 35 over numbers for summer. And I suspect if somebody with a lot of quantity threw a big bunch at one of the big processors for corn, that we'd see 50 over trade today. That's a guess. So we're setting up for a very eventful late spring and early summer.
Yeah, speaking of that, we'll be planting, as you mentioned, across Illinois and Indiana in the next 2 weeks for sure, in a really heavy way, especially if there is some limited cooperation from the weather. Once producers start to roll, and it used to be that we'd say if they're planting corn, they're going to continue to plant corn, but they plant both at the same time now, and they may have some decisions that they can still make, especially if they've got some acres that don't have nitrogen on it yet, or a herbicide burn that would cause a problem. Do they need to think about one crop over the other?
Well, in the olden days, whatever they were for you and me, I guess, but we would have seen a shift to corn acres, or to at least a few more corn acres in a fast spring. And the way things are shaping up right now, we're going to be planting a bunch of corn here in the next 2 to 2 weeks. So I think that if somebody has some good black dirt and the work the corn stalks last fall, and they can get into them here again mid to late April, there could be some switching there. I wouldn't be afraid to do that at all. I'm pretty friendly to the corn market. I'm really bullish the soybean market. So if I had somebody ask me, hey, do I do this? Again, it would depend upon what kind of dirt they were trying to make that decision on. Some of that good Illinois dirt, Indiana dirt. Yeah, I wouldn't hesitate to go a little heavier on corn if that situation was there.
During the past week, the past month, the meteorologists that join us on the closing market report have been talking about the serious drought problems in the far northwestern plains and into a part of the Canadian prairie, so primarily North Dakota. The Red River Valley has gotten some rainfall, still probably setting up, as we heard during the closing market report today, for one of the driest or the driest record on record, March in 125 years. Does that make a difference very much given the number of acres of corn and soybeans that they plant?
We've been chatting about this in the office here the last couple of days. What's that North Dakota farmer going to do? Is if it's too dry to plant spring wheat, is he going to give any consideration to waiting a little bit and then spending more money to put in a corn crop into the driest soils in March in the last 125 years? I don't think we'll see that. And I have to think there's a reason in parts of North Dakota where they tend to plant spring wheat instead of corn. So now we are seeing a major increase in corn acres in North Dakota projection. Same thing in South Dakota. That's where most of the prevent plant acres were. So that's no small thing. And, if this continues, at some point, I suspect that they'll go ahead and drop those planters in dry dirt and hope for the best. And if the worst happens, then they'll get some crop insurance from it. So I don't know that we'll see many planting decisions changed, but it's certainly a worry here as we start. And, we've seen some good rains in Nebraska and parts of Iowa and southern South Dakota, Minnesota. So we've seen some soil recharging, but, in 3 weeks, we're going to be back to pretty darn dry if we don't see some rain.
I suppose if I think about it, the problem that might develop out of that is that corn and soybeans could find the 3 million acres fairly easy out of the West. They would show up, but they could also be prevent plant because they just didn't come up. Or they could end up being in a prevent plant or just not very much coming off of them, one of the two, I suppose.
Yes, as soon as that report came out, of course, the acreage report, everybody was pretty bullish and for good reason. They were certainly stunning numbers. And then, of course, the second guessing starts. And there's reason for that. We've seen the USDA put a number out on March 31st that looked a little low. And then on June 30th, they went higher, maybe even higher than what we would have seen. So there's been some numbers pushed around before that makes us scratch our head. So I would think that there's room for some increase in corn acres. If the weather, again, is as good as advertised right now for the next 2 to 3 weeks, I would say we'll add some corn acres, probably not going to add bean acres. And I'm going to assume that this time that USDA doesn't find a bunch of acres. So we'll see how that works out. Cotton prices are good. Sorghum prices are excellent. Wheat prices are strong, of course. So there's just not a lot of places where they can borrow those acres from now. Todd,
how far along do you want producers to be on new crop corn and soybean sales? And are you looking to add to those sales at all?
We're 10% sold on corn. We just made that sale a couple weeks ago around the 485 March area on new crop. We've not sold any soybeans. We've been holding out. I thought after the March 31st report that we'd be that we would have gone past the $13 mark by the time today's report came out. We didn't get that done. So, but again, there's really nothing to be bearish about when it comes to soybeans. And I've even had a comment or two about me being irritatingly bullish here the last 6 months, but I can't find any reason not to be, Todd. So I'm not ashamed of it. I love the bean market right now. Corn will probably push our corn sales at least another 10% early next week. I think that you know, you put a five in front of D's corn, and the planters are rolling fast and heavy in the middle of April. Historically, you don't want to be fighting that. You know, we're probably going to see some pressure for that. Now, if that forecast starts to heat up and no rain, there's going to be some talk about 2012. 1988 started that way as well. So there could be a little pressure coming up here, and then we'll just see how that longer range forecast looks.
Any final word from you today?
Well, I think the USDA, I don't think they want to take the bean carryout under 120. So, you know, that is the tightest stocks to usage ratio. That ties the tightest stocks to usage ratio in history at 2.6%. So I think they're saying this is about as tight as we want to take this thing until we get a little bit deeper into spring, early summer, see if we can keep these exports up above 10 million. But they worked the numbers a little bit today to keep them at 120. And I don't have a big argument with that. We'll just see how it all works out, Todd.
That's John Zanker. He's with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Dale Durkles joined us for our program too. Dale, any final word from you?
I think the big question at this point in time as we work our way through the spring is going to be really how many acres of corn and soybeans do we ultimately plant? Everybody is assuming that the USDA numbers we had here from the prospective planting report probably are going to go up, weather permitting. The question is, how much are they going to go up? And I think that's going to be a guiding influence. And the better that spring planting conditions are, the faster we plant the crop, the more we probably, or the odds are we see more acres put in the ground than people expect. Prices are high, and we can't ignore that.
And your final word, Garrett Toy of AgTraderTalk.com.
I think it's important, you know, I mean, these are profitable levels. It's like a broken record. Yeah, but, you know, here we're at the magic $5 level. You know, we have upside here at 514 to 517 on the charts. But in reality, you know, corn is a game of quarters. We're at $5. So 525 is the next levels. Can the market withstand 525 corn is what you're looking at from a demand destruction standpoint. Beans, I think the important thing is, you know, technically, you know, 1279 on Nove beans is resistance. We get above that, it's 1306. I do think that, you know, spring planting, though, becomes more of a focus in conditions and planting progress over the next 30, 40 days. Based on what we know on the weather forecast at this point, looks pretty good and would be have a bearish influence if the market feels that we are going to find back acres in June.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find and listen to our program anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists, Dale Durkles of Grain Cycles out of Bloomington, Illinois, Garrett Toy from AgTraderTalk.com out of Stockton, Illinois, and John Zanker from Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.